not only do we get the privilege of celebrating the Lord's Supper, but in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're going to see what God has for us today. Let me just, first of all, as you're looking for Deuteronomy chapter 32, let me ask you a personal question, okay? How many of you, sometimes you're going through something in your life and you're really not sure why you're going through what you're going through? You're really not sure why and what God is up to in your life. Is there anybody here that's going through some things in your life and you're really not sure? You don't understand. I believe a lot of us at times in our life, our pilgrimage, we just don't understand. That's the case, and many times it reminded me of the story of the little boy when he was playing a part in the Easter drama, and all he had to say in the Easter drama was what the angel said about Jesus. He's not here. He's risen. He's not here. He's risen. Go and tell. That's all he had to say. But the little boy, for the life of him, he could not remember what he was supposed to say. He just absolutely went blank. Have you ever done that? Supposed to say something, you forgot what you're supposed to say? He went blank. And then all of a sudden, he remembered what he was to say, and he grabbed the microphone and he said, "He's not here, he's in prison." I think he missed a little bit. And sometimes we don't know why we're going through what we're going through, but God knows. I've got good news today that God is still on his throne. He's still in control. And guess what? There's not a single thing that can happen to a child of God that God does not permit and allow. And I don't know about you, but that ought to bring security and that ought to bring assurance in your heart to know that our God's a good God. Amen and amen and amen. Praise his holy name. And today, God's placed a message on my heart to share with you on eagle's wings. On eagle's wings is the title, Sister Janet. On eagle's wings. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 11. If you're there, would you say amen? You remember, first of all, the background. God had supernaturally, extraordinarily delivered his people out of Egypt. And guess what he did? He gave them shoes that didn't wear out. He gave them food on their table, even in the wilderness. Guess what else he did? He put clothes on their back. How many would say today that God sure has been good to me? God sure has been good to me. God sure has been good to me. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that the older generation, it seems, is more appreciative because it seems like the older generation looks back and sees how God has provided and how God has brought you through this and brought you through that and how God has been good. And you know what? I think this younger generation just needs to have a spiritual awakening and start appreciating. It seems like when we're younger, we don't appreciate things as much as when we get older and we look back on our life. But God has been good to me. Can I testify just real quick? God's been good to me. I know he's been good to you, and the Bible teaches that we ought to praise him, child of God. We ought to thank God for his goodness. Oh, I know we got a lot of things going on that we get sidetracked, but God's been good. And we look in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and there are four lessons that I believe the Lord wants to teach us today. Four lessons about our love relationship with our Heavenly Father. There are four wonderful lessons that ought to really make us love him more and fall in love with him more and yield to his lordship and let him have his way with us more and more. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. Moses is getting ready to pen the words of the second law of Deuteronomy. The crowd is fixing to go into the promised land. One verse in the message today, and here it is, verse 11. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him." This is the word of God. Father, I pray you'll open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Lord, I thank you for what you've been speaking to my heart about all week long. Now, God, I know there's people here today that, Father, need a word of encouragement. Lord, I'm convinced that you brought us here for such a time as this, to be refreshed and renewed and revived in our hearts. And we just ask you to give us great grace to let go and let you have your way with us, to trust you with all of our heart. And Lord, we thank you now what you're doing and what you've done. We love you. We bless you. Cleanse us and fill us today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. I had the privilege of preaching on this text a number of years ago, and God birthed a whole new message on my heart today. Here it is, four lessons that I believe the Lord wants us to learn. Here they are. Number one, an eagle builds its nest up high. An eagle builds its nest up high. That's the first lesson. That's the first lesson. Number two, an eagle not only builds its nest up high, but an eagle breaks down its dependency down low. An eagle breaks down its dependency down low. You'll understand it in a moment. Number three, there's a third lesson. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth her wings, and taketh them and bear them on her wings. There's a third lesson that God wants us to learn today about not only him and us, but it's a comparison between an eagle and a Christian. Number three, not only does an eagle build its nest up high and break its dependency down low, but number three, it broods over its young with care. It broods, B-R-O-O-D. The word brood means flutter. The eagle broods over its young with care. There's a fourth lesson that God wants us to learn today. Here it is. It's number four. Not only does an eagle brood over its young with care, but number four, an eagle bears its young on its wing. An eagle bears its young on its wing. Number one, let's learn some lessons from our Heavenly Father today that'll bless your heart. How many need a blessing today? How many want a blessing? How many have been going through some troubles and trials in your life? And you just say, bless God, I don't know what God's up to, but I believe God's going to encourage you today. Number one, an eagle builds its nest up high. Do you see the text, Deuteronomy 32 and 11? As an eagle stirreth up her nest. Let's take that word eagle and two parts to eagle. Number one, an eagle's majesty. And number two, an eagle's security. Number one, an eagle's majesty. Have you seen a bald eagle lately? A bald eagle is a massive bird. That is a majestic bird, to say the least. We are told a bald eagle, the speed and the strength of that bird is absolutely astounding. A bald eagle can fly 100 miles an hour, up to 100 miles an hour. That is moving 100 miles an hour. That eagle not only has the ability, God-given, mind you, to fly with great speed, but that eagle has an eye that's just insurpassable. I mean, it's just unfathomable. You've heard the phrase. How many heard that phrase? An eye like an eagle. An eye like an eagle. I remember when I was growing up as a boy, we used to say that eye like an eagle. Now, I'm going to take you back a little ways here. How many ever remember watching Daniel Boone growing up? I remember watching Daniel Boone growing up with that old song, something like this. Daniel Boone was a man, was a big man with an eye like an eagle. And we used to say, in a tail like a beagle. I don't know if that was on the song or not. But anyway, that eagle, listen to me, that eagle's eye, an eagle fluttereth over, an eagle stirreth up her nest. That eagle's eye is so mighty, miraculous. That eagle, the way it's positioned in its head, can see. Are you ready for this? An eagle can see a rabbit or a fish a mile away. A mile away. Can you see a fish or a rabbit a mile away? I can't see it to 50 yards away. Amen. But I mean, that eagle has got that ability. And speaking of seeing off at a distance, one man said he had three pair of glasses. He said he had a pair of glasses to see far off, he had a second pair of glasses to see up close, and he had a third pair of glasses to find the other two pair of glasses. You hadn't got there yet, have you? But anyway, an eagle's eye is just absolutely amazing. So the eagle's strength and the eagle's speed, the majesty of the eagle. But consider with me the security of the eagle. The security of the eagle. Now, I don't know. I have not studied these birds, although I've done some research on it. I read where an eagle, get this now, an eagle's nest. Guess how big an eagle sometimes can build its nest, a bald eagle. Over 9 feet wide. That makes two of these tables. Imagine two tables set together, and guess how deep this nest is. Some have been measured to be 20 feet deep. 20 feet deep. You say, how in the world can a bird build a nest that big? One report said, or one source named and said, an eagle, what they'll do is when the nest, now ladies, listen to this, when the nest gets dirty, the eagle will not take the stuff out and throw it away. Rather, the eagle will just start piling stuff on top of it. Some nests included 10,000 sticks. 10,000 sticks in one nest. Light bulbs, lumber, whatever, you know, I mean, insulation, anything. And so an eagle builds its nest, and it's a mighty, massive nest. The eagle's security, and the eagle's security over its enemy. Now, how many know that storms do come? Can I get an amen? Storms do come. Write it down. Not if the storms come, but when the storms come, and the storms will come. Some of you now are going through a storm. Some of you now are getting ready to go in a storm. Some of you now are coming out of a storm. It doesn't matter. The storms will come. But wait a minute. Do you know what that eagle will do? May God teach us a lesson today about coming through the storm. An eagle, a bald eagle. Do you realize the eagle has 1,200 feathers on one wing? 1,200 feathers on one wing. And so we're told that eagle's wing, those feathers are tapered at the end, thus making it like a shock absorber. Here's what the eagle does. When a storm comes blowing in, that eagle will stretch out her wings, will stretch them out. And you know what that eagle will do? The air current will absolutely take that eagle up higher and higher. In fact, some eagles have been known to soar at altitudes at 10,000 feet. That eagle, listen to me, when that storm comes boiling and brewing in, that eagle will stretch out its wings, and that storm will cause that eagle to rise higher and higher and higher. Watch this. Watch this. That eagle is going higher, but meanwhile, the storm is still billowing and raging down below. But the eagle uses the storm to rise above it. Is there anybody here that needs God to give you wings of an eagle? You've got a storm on the horizon. Why, you're right in the eye of the storm, and you say, God, give me wings to stretch them out. Because, praise God, that I'm telling you, God can give us grace to go above the storms and rise above the circumstances when it looks like all hope is gone. Tell you that our God is so good that He's made us His children, and He gives us grace to go through the storm. He didn't say He'd take us out of the storm, but He did say He'd be with us in the storm. And there's some of you that need some comfort today, encouragement today. That eagle will rise higher and higher and higher. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. You see, I visited a dear lady in her 90s this past week, and here's what she told me. I sat down and talked with her, and she said this to me. She said, Brother Pastor, she said, we all have troubles. Life has its troubles. She said, God's been good to me. Life has its ups and downs, but I love what she said. This is for somebody here. Are you ready? This is for somebody here. Are you ready? Here's what she said. She said, that it's in the storm that we learn to depend on God. It's in the valley whereby we learn to lean on Jesus. It's when we go through the hardship and the trouble in life that God begins to build some mighty spiritual muscles in His children. And we get refined by the storm. And we learn to trust Him more through the storm. And it's during that time that, watch this, faith is exercise. Is there anybody here going through a storm? Why don't you just say, Lord, I don't understand all this storm, but I'm going to thank you that you can even use the storm in my life to make me more than a conqueror. Oh, brother, you got to see it. Number one, the eagle bills are nest up high. Number two, there's a second lesson that God wants to teach us from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11. It's this. An eagle not only builds its nest up high, but number two, an eagle breaketh down its dependency down low. Look at the text, Deuteronomy 32, 11. As an eagle, what's the next word? Stirreth up. The word stirreth is the word yair. Yair, Y-A-I-R, Hebrew word. Yair, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. What does that word mean? Stirreth up. It's a word that means arouse. It's a word that means to come to life, to wake up, literally. And so you get the picture. An eagle stirreth up her nest. What does this mean? It means this. How many have ever seen a mama bird come to a nest and feed the little baby birds? Have you ever seen that? You've seen those little baby birds. They got their mouth open like this. They can't wait for another free meal. Sounds like the government. Anyway, so much for that. But they can't wait for another free meal. And guess what? That mama will give them worms and give them food and take care of those little baby eagles. Guess what happens? Those little baby eagles, they get comfortable in their little padded nest. Why not? As long as they're getting fed, why not? They don't have to do anything but just wait for mama to bring them everything. So what does that mother eagle do? That mother eagle, you know what she'll do? So we're told she'll begin to move some of that padding in that nest, some of that soft padding. And those little baby eaglets, man, they're just so comfortable and they're just so cuddly and they're just so sleepy and they're just so, you know, like some Christian today. They're just having a good time, and that mother eagle knows they can't stay in that condition. They have got to prepare to fly. That's their business. That's their calling. That's their ordained purpose. And what does the mother eagle do? Began to pull a little bit of padding here, a little bit of padding there. Guess what happens? That little eaglet will begin to get stuck with that stick sticking up. There's no padding there anymore. And you know how an eagle learns to fly? A bald eagle jumps up in the air, and then flaps their wings. That's how they learn to fly. They don't just fall out of the nest. They jump up, and then they spread their wings, and the air carries them away. And so those little eaglets, they're getting comfortable, but that mother stirs up the nest. That mother arouses those young little eaglets to say, look, you're not meant to stay in this nest. You're meant to fly. I'm telling you, we are living in a time right now in America and in our nation and in our communities right now where there are far too many Christians that have got comfortable and have fallen asleep and need to wake up. I thought somebody would say amen. Oh, that's the reason. Right now you look around, there's empty pews and empty chairs in the house of God because Christians that don't have time, or some are obviously providentially hindered, but there's many that could celebrate and worship the living God. We're living in a time where it's just God send the revival, wake us up, Lord. No wonder Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, he said, knowing the time, it is high time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. And God wants us to wake up. Wake up. I know what's happening to the average American today. The average Christian is we're getting frustrated and irritated and agitated with all the stuff going on in the government and our world. And the next thing you know, we can develop a cynical attitude and an I don't care attitude while people are dying and going to hell, while life keeps going on, while the clock keeps ticking, while God is still wanting to use us. God help us not to get in a state where we get so cynical and such a bad attitude that we can't be used of God. God knows how to wake us up. And sometimes that mother eagle will stir up the nest to keep those young chicks, those eagles, to get them up and arouse them up. And speaking of sleepy Christians, I thought about one of our dear friends, and you know who I'm talking about. One of my dear friends had the privilege of going over to Honduras and Nicaragua and South America with this dear precious man, Bill Pritchett. How many remember Brother Bill? He was a precious man, wasn't he? Oh, yeah. Had the privilege of preaching his funeral back just a few years ago, and his wife, Evie, went to be with the Lord back in November. But I can still remember Brother Bill. We'd get on when we got on the airport or the airplane. He was one, and he had a physical condition. His heart was not functioning properly, and he'd tell me this, and he'd sit about right up here every Sunday. And, you know, Brother Bill, he had such a condition that he wanted to be perpetual. He was active. He worked all the time. And if he ever got still, Brother Bill, do this number. He'd just fall his head over. I'd hear him snoring on the second row. I'd see Evie punching him, and I'd see drooling down his chin. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't see the drool. But I'd see him, she'd punch him, and he'd jump up and say, amen. I love Brother Bill. I understood he couldn't stay awake. But anyway, there's that God wants us to learn to fly. Watch this, don't miss this. Sometimes faith down in you is not activated. Sometimes faith down in you is not activated. And God knows, in order for that faith, can you hear me? In order for that faith to come alive and be activated in your life, God permits and allows some storms, some trials and troubles to come our way, because faith needs to learn how to fly. The testing of your faith being much more precious than of gold, said Peter. And so it is, tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope, according to Romans chapter 5. And so faith wants to just be dormant. And there's faith down in you. I know there's faith down in you. I said, I know there's faith, the very faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, Galatians 2:20. But you see, sometimes in life, we just kind of casually go along life, and things, we can handle this. We just get in a rut if we're not careful, and our faith is really not being exercised. And so often, things happen in life, and it can be a blessing in disguise. It can cause us to exercise faith in God. It's down in you. Can I put it this way? Tomorrow, April the 8th, I'm scheduled for a upgrade on the telephone. Man, I've got a World War II model, amen? I'm glad to have it, praise the Lord, but man, that thing is, it's got electrical tape on it and tie straps on it, and it's been through this and that, been down to South America. And anyway, I'm just grateful to have it, but honestly, I'm ready for I'm due for an upgrade, and people now, they send text messages. I'm on the road driving, sometimes hours at a time, and how many know you're not supposed to text while you're driving? And so communication is shut down. I'm not just talking about one text message every once in a while. I'm talking about numerous daily. I'm not talking about just one text message where you can just say yes and no. I'm talking about messages like this. Pastor, will you explain spiritual gifts? Yeah, right. I'll come to church in about, you know, an hour. I'll tell you about it. How do you do that and answer all some of these questions? A man called me yesterday and said, how do you explain the earthquake and when those graves were open and those bodies came out of the grave? He said, this man's from Florida. He called me and said, Pastor, what's your view on that? I mean, how do you explain that, those bodies that came out of the grave? Here, what I'm trying to say is, Lord willing, tomorrow I'm due for an upgrade. But you know what? That phone that has got my name on it, amen? I don't know which one. But anyway, that phone, whatever one I get, it's going to be this. Been talking to Brother David about it. He's been training me on them, by the way. But anyway, that phone has to be activated. It's not going to cut on and get connection if I just grab it off the shelf. How many know what I'm talking about? It has to be activated. I don't understand how they activate the thing. I don't know if it's a card in there. I don't know if they call somebody and they somehow or another make the transaction. All I know is when I push that on button, the thing comes on. It has to be activated. Can I tell you, so it is with our faith. Sometimes our faith has to be activated. Our faith is not activated sometimes until we go through a trial, until we go through a storm. There's somebody you today that says, bless God, I can see God is exercising my faith. He's activating my faith. Things aren't going like I thought they would go. There's some stuff I just can't control. But God's saying, hey, child of God, hey, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hang in there. God's going to see you through it. There's a third lesson that God wants us to learn. As an eagle stirreth up her nest. Look at the text. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, what's the next word? Fluttereth over her young. What does it mean to flutter? It's a word that means to brood over, B-R-O-O-D, brood over. It can literally mean to shake. There are two parts to what I want to share that God put on my heart to share with you. Not only does an eagle build her nest up high, not only does an eagle break her nest or break her dependency down low. But number three, an eagle broods over her young with care. Watch this. Get the picture. That eagle stretches out her wings. Two reasons. One, for protection. Two, for demonstration. Number one, for protection. That mother eagle, can you see her in your mind's eye? She's stretching out her wings. Why? That hot sun is bearing down on those little eaglets. The nest is way up on that rock or crevice. That nest is way up in the tree, usually where there's no shade. I mean, it's high. And so whether there's no shade and the sun is beating down on those little eaglets, so mama bird flutters. Mama bird broods over her young, sheltering them, shielding them from the hot rays of the sun. Not only from the sun, but number two, from the rain. When it begins to pour down rain, Mama Eagle, like an umbrella, spreads out her wings. She fluttereth over her young. And so the rain begins to pitter-patter off of her wings rather than on her nest and her little eaglets. Here's a lesson. Aren't you glad that God has His protective hand over us? Oh, listen, let's camp there just for a moment. If God didn't have His protective hand over you and me, I'm telling you, the devil would have spit us out. He'd have eaten us up and spit us out a long time ago. But God said, I'm going to put a hedge around her. I'm going to put a hedge around him. And devil, you can't go but so far. You can't do but so much. God Almighty has His protective hand, His hedge around His children. I think I feel like shouting right there. Psalm 91:1, the psalmist said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Number one, for protection. Number two, for demonstration. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. First, she flutters for protection. But there's another reason. Not only protection, but demonstration. Watch this. That mother eagle, as she's fluttering, she's flapping her wings. She's showing those little baby eaglets how to do it. And those little baby eaglets, they don't have their wings developed, and they're looking at mama, and mama's flapping her wings, and those little baby, she's demonstrating. She's showing them, this is how you do it. She's preparing them for that heavenly flight. She's preparing them for that time when they will move out of the nest and begin to soar into heaven like an eagle was meant to do. She's demonstrating. Can I tell you, praise God, Jesus came to earth from heaven. Why? To demonstrate how to live a life above the world and the flesh and the devil. I'm telling you, he came to die on a cross. He came to live in victory. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I'm telling you, when he died, he was placed in the tomb. We celebrated it last week, but he got up out of the grave. He said to the disciples, all power is given to me, both in heaven and earth. And then he ascended on high. But he said to his disciples, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my spirit. He's going to be with you, in you, and upon you. He's going to guide you into all truth. And I'm telling you, on the day of Pentecost, he poured out his Holy Ghost. His Holy Spirit was poured out upon those hungry disciples, hungry and thirsting for the power, the needed power. You shall receive power, dunamis, dynamite, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so they were empowered to live a life above the world and the flesh and the devil. Jesus not only demonstrated, but praise God, he gave us the power to overcome. Isn't that wonderful? Glory be to his name. Bills coming in the mail. How many know what I'm talking about? Trying to get out of debt. Problems. Stress. Worry. Anxiety. Family problems. It's all there. I had the privilege of going Friday night to a seminar over at Centennial Baptist Church. It was a men's conference. And anyway, Brother Jim was there. A couple of our men were there. Bubba. And the young man that just was saved, Tyler Brewer, was there. I was so glad to see him. After the first setting in the session, I went to this particular class where one of the men taught on marriage and the family. And he was talking about being good stewards of our time and resources. And he proposed this question to everybody. He said, what would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? He said to this man over here, what would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? What would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? What would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? What would you do if somebody gave you? And he came over to me and he said, what would you do? One man said, I'd get out of debt. Another man said, I'd buy me a new house. Another man said, I'd retire if somebody gave me $1 million. He came to me and he said, what would you do if somebody gave you $1 million? I said, I know what I'd do. I'd have to pay a bunch of doctor bills because I'd have a heart attack for sure. Now, I'm serious. I did say that. I thought about it. But God owns a cattle on a thousand hill, brother and sister, and he can do it, amen, if he wants to. He can do it. Thank God he can do it. Number four, there's a fourth lesson that God wants us to learn about on eagle's wings. Number four, not only does an eagle brood over its young, but number four, last but not certainly least, an eagle bears its young on its wing. You see the text? Look at the text, Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth out her wings, carries them, bears them, bears them. And the word bear in the King James Bible means to lift up. Bears them on her wings. How many know that sometimes you slip and fall? We slip and fall. All of us slip and fall. Not just physically, spiritually as well. We slip and fall. And do you know that mother eagle, what she'll do? We're told. Now, I don't know this, but it's what I read. That mother eagle will, those little baby eaglets, they're jumping. You remember? They jump. Then they spread their wings, and that's what calls them to fly. They jump out of that nest, and they'd start jumping real soon. And the next thing you know what that mother eagle will do? And that little baby eagle will jump on mama's wings. Mama will go up in the air with that little baby eaglet on that mama's wings. And that mama eagle is just soaring in the heavenlies. And then all of a sudden, that mama eagle will shake. And that little baby eaglet, down. That little baby eagle is flapping the wings fast as it can. And that little baby eagle is trying and trying. But something is going down. It's falling down and down. And just before that baby eagle hits the ground, mama eagle zooms right in there and bears that baby eagle on its wings. Sometimes we fall. We fall out of the will of God. I said we fall out of the will of God. We take our eyes off Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Take your eyes off Jesus. And sometimes we fall into bitterness, and we fall into lust, and we fall into critical spirits, and we fall into self-righteousness. But I'm glad, thank God, God catches us when we cry out to Him. Oh, yes, He does. Can I tell y'all something happened to me this week, and I'll be done. Last week, how many know we've gotten a lot of rain lately? Hallelujah. How many know the ground is pretty saturated? Amen. Last week, I was going to turn our car around in the yard. No big deal, right? Just turn it around in the yard. And so I began to turn the car around. Not the black car, the other one. And I was going to turn it down, and our yard slopes. And there's kind of a ditch right in the weeds are growing in it. A lot of weeds. And all I was going to do was turn the car around and just sweep it on around. No big deal. And so I got to turning around, and I got over there, not on the ditch, but near the ditch. And all of a sudden, I noticed it started bogging down. I noticed it started slipping. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm at an angle, and all of a sudden, this car starts slipping and sliding toward the hole. I said, all right, that's no big deal. I threw that baby in reverse. Boom, started backing up. Guess what I did? I just spun the tires, dug a hole in the ground. I'm sitting there with the front tires in mud, water. The back tires are dug a hole. I said, well, now what am I going to do? Well, I went and found me a little short-handle shovel. My other one got the handle broken on it. Anyway, got a little short-handle metal shovel that I had in the trunk. And I started getting behind the tires, digging out and getting in the mud and getting down in the mud and digging behind the, getting some rocks. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And sticks and anything to go behind the tires. I got to get out of that hole. I put that baby in reverse, whoo, and it moved about this far and stopped. And just spun the tires. I said, oh, my soul, what am I going to do now? Well, I dug behind the tires again. Big old holes on this side, big old holes on that side, big old holes on the front two tires. And I said, I'm going to put some more rocks in there, go find some rocks and sticks. Meanwhile, an hour's passed by. I said, one hour's passed by. I'm out there muddy, trying to get that, and I put it in reverse, and it moved back about this far. I'm telling you, I had thoughts come through my mind I hadn't had in years. I said, where's my shotgun? And I'm out there with mud, and I've been out there about an hour and a half trying to get that car unstuck, and guess who comes driving up? Deanna. And she looks at me, and I look at her, and she just shakes her head. I got mud all over me. My hand's bleeding. I've been working with this shovel, and I'm not a happy camper. And she looks at me and she says, them are your good pants. Oh, how many know that'll bless you? Oh, me. So I said, how am I going to get this baby out? I know how I can get her out. Our son traded, he brought his truck. Just so happened his truck was over at the house. He's got a 250 Ford. And I said, no big deal. I'll back that big old Ford up and just pull her out. No big deal. So it's a diesel, and cranked it up and pulled back there. I hooked up the cable and got in the truck, turned on the car. And this is before Deanna got home, and pop, the cable popped. Not once, twice. I couldn't find a chain anywhere. Finally, I went to my neighbor and said, I'm in a jam here. I got ox in the ditch. I needed a chain. So I found the chain and came back. An hour and a half soon passed by. And so I hooked the chain up to it. It didn't have a hook on it, so I had to tie it and put a bolt in it and this, that, and the other. Anyway, finally got the chain on it and got in the truck and put the thing in drive. And guess what the truck did? Just spun the back tires and dug a hole in the ground and just sunk down to the ground. I said, all right. We're not going to give up yet. How many know that a four-wheel drive is what you need? And so it's a four-wheel drive. I just locked them front tires on it. Don't tell Jim I did this, sorry. Anyway, I locked them front two tires, put that baby in four-wheel drive, and it just pulled her out like it was taking candy from a baby. Woo! I got that thing. Hey, listen. Is there anybody here that's stuck? You're stuck. You may not want to admit it, but you're stuck. Maybe you're stuck in a relationship. You feel like you're stuck. My job, I don't like it. I'm stuck. I can't get out of debt. I take one step forward and two steps back. I'm stuck. Here's the good news. The Lord said, like an eagle, He'll bear us on His wings. He'll carry us. He'll empower us. Tell me, are you at a place right now in your life where your faith has just gone to sleep? Maybe you're facing something now and you recognize, praise God, God, you're bringing my faith back to life again. I wonder if you'd stand together with me today.